the birth of Christ is a hungry dragon who wants to eat us. I didn't see nothing about that at Walmart. Did you? Nothing about that on Black Friday or on the internet or the Christmas sales that are coming. The Christmas season is so important to so many people for so many different reasons. It may be important to you because you're one of those strange people that started getting ready in June. You know what I'm saying? How many of you done with your Christmas shopping? Anybody? Anybody done with your, you just don't want to admit it, do you? How many of you not done with your Christmas shopping? I'll get you one way or the other, coming or going. All right. Some of you, Christmas may be important because you started in June, and you're the kind that pop around and say, only 180 days left to shop. Some people, Christmas is important because it's about being with family. Still, to other people, there's the reminder of how broken your family is. And there's loneliness. And to others, there's loss in your family and somehow coming back around into these times where we so intensely crave our family. It's a reminder that they're not there. Many times, Christmas is a time when our expectation exceeds our reality. And it can be a time of great disappointment. And it's also a time of gift giving and gift receiving. And let's face it, sometimes it's just a time of materialism gone mad. The real danger of Christmas is that we misunderstand what Christ is all about. We sort of do our traditional Christmas celebration thing inside our own life, and we weave best as we can our Christianity into it. I don't know how you feel, but in our culture, it looks like we're finding a harder time squeezing Christianity into Christmas. And then we come to church and we speak about peace and good cheer and all the things that make us feel good at Christmas. But you know, the reality is Jesus was born into a hostile world. Jesus was born into a world that was hostile to him. And Jesus was born with an adversary, Revelation calls a dragon, that was waiting to eat him. The Christmas story is not just about the birth of Jesus. The Christmas story is about what the birth of Jesus meant. John shifts the point of view from our traditional view and celebration of Christmas, and he shifts it and he tells the story not from our point of view down here on earth. He tells the story from heaven's point of view. How did the coming of Christ to earth, how must it have looked if you were in a company of angels gathered around the throne of heaven, looking down onto this little blue and green ball, seeing the Son of God stuck straight into the earth? How would that have looked from your view? And that's the view that John has been given insight into as he writes the book of Revelation. John shifts the point of view so we get a window into the spiritual dimension, and the serenity of silent night is shattered by the sounds of clanging swords and battle and war. Christmas isn't about carols. It's not about eggnog and candy. It's about the Messiah, God's Son, invading Satan's territory and making war with him in order to rescue us. Merry Christmas. Christmas, now think about this with me, is the reason for war. Very unusual. Never seen it on a banner anywhere. God came into Satan's domain to face him down on his own turf, and the old dragon wasn't going to let that happen without a battle. And so you know the story. Herod sought to kill all the firstborn because he was hoping in that massive slaughter that he would find Christ and kill him prematurely. Later he raised up Pilate to condemn him, and all the fury of hell was released on the baby Jesus on that night we like to call the silent night. And as Jesus lie in that little manger somewhere in Palestine, there grew a tree. And that tree would one day be carved into a cross. And that tree would become the place that God's Son became the ultimate gift to to the world. John wants us to see the manger not through our local advertisement. John wants us to see the manger not through 21st century American life. John wants us to see the manger not through our own personal traditions and the way that we necessarily celebrate in our families. John wants us to see the manger through the cross. So as you look through that axis and you begin to view the first Christmas from the end back to the beginning, it looks different. It must have looked the way it did in heaven. God wasn't surprised by what they did to His Son. He wasn't caught off guard. He wasn't shocked. He knew it before He sent His Son to come. And He sent Him anyway. And He tended to see the whole picture at one time. You know the irony? I mean the real irony of the Christmas story? And then this battle that Jesus fought all of His life. And then when He hung on that tree and died, the real irony of it is, it looks like the dragon won. Even some of Jesus' disciples thought that. Even some of His disciples, even the Apostle Peter. When that scene played out and Jesus died and the battle was in its heated moment, it looks like the dragon won. He threw his nets down and he stopped following Jesus and he went back and picked his nets up, started fishing again. Said, well, I guess we lost. It was a good ride. Why does it often look like that in the kingdom, the dragon's winning? It looks that way often because Jesus' path to victory is different than everybody else's. Sometimes we talk about getting into the spirit of Christmas. That usually means, when we say that about somebody, that they're really enthusiastic about shopping or about decorating or digging out old Bing Crosby CDs and playing the music earlier this year than they did last year. At its very best, the Christmas spirit is about generosity and kindness and courtesy and being nice to other people. At its worst, it's a pagan holiday that has blotted out the meaning of Christmas altogether and fails to recognize heaven's perspective on what happened. John's version of the Christmas story reminds us we are in a struggle with a dragon. And it's a struggle we can't win. But it's a struggle that He already won. Those who put their faith in the testimony of Jesus overcome the dragon. And the irony is, even for those who read the book of Revelation the very first time, the original readers, when John sat and wrote this book, the very first people that read it, it looked like at the time that the dragon was winning, big time. For most of them, and for maybe the followers of Christ in those early chapters of Christianity, it looked like the dragon was winning. Most of the first readers of Revelation died in the battle. Well, this morning I want to show you a quick little clip that summarizes how that must have played out. For John, the writer of Revelation, he could only see Christmas one way. It meant that old dragon's still loose and we're still in a battle. And that dragon that was waiting to devour Christ who lost is still loose on the earth, making war, Revelation says, against the offspring, those who obey Jesus' commands. You know, many Americans, statistics tell us, don't believe that there is a literal Satan. That number's growing. I can tell you who does believe it. John, who wrote the book of Revelation. He believes there's a literal dragon who's come to destroy, who's angry because his time is running short. I want to read this verse out of the New Century Version because I think it sheds the best light on it. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, and I'll ask the worship team to come. Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace among the people who please God. Listen to that again. Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace among people who please God. You know, I think one of the big misconceptions we have when we hear that triumphal announcement at Christmas, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, I think we misunderstand. Jesus never promised to bring us peace on the outside. He promised to bring us peace on the inside. Actually, He promised the opposite. On the outside, He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Peace on earth. Or according to the New Century Version, peace among the people who please God. Jesus came. Well, Jesus came to make war. But He also came to bring peace to those who were at war with the dragon, who were at war with the enemy. Would you stand with me? Every eye closed. It's pretty heavy today. And you may be thinking, wow, I didn't know that we were going to talk about martyrdom at Christmas. It's pretty heavy. Well, it is heavy. It's a heavy battle. But I wanted to show you that for this reason. Because there are people in this room that are in a battle. In a battle with the dragon, in a battle with the enemy, in a battle with darkness, in a battle with circumstances that are overwhelming your life. And I just wanted to show you that to show you that however bad, however hard, however heavy your battle is, God's already been there. I wanted you to know that if I could show you something that was worse than the battle that you're in, and you could see how God had given peace and strength to the saints through the centuries, you would know that that same God could meet you in your battle today. I've said each week to you, giving you kind of a new definition of Christmas. Christmas means that God still does miracles. Christmas means that God is closer than you think. Today I want to give you one more. Christmas means that God still enters battles and still gives peace to those who please Him. God still enters battles. He's a God of warfare. And He sent His Son in the form of a baby to enter the greatest battle the world's ever known. And He still enters battles, and He still brings peace, and He still causes His children to triumph over all the battles of the world. And so with every eye closed this morning, our prayer team, would you please come and move into place? My soul has been so stirred today because I know for some of you, this is the last time we'll see you until Christmas Day. And some of you have enormous battles. Some of you have weight and burden on your life. Some of you have things that you have to deal with in the next 7 days that are hard. Some of you are torn between multiple families and blended families, and children are stuck in between. Some of your economy, your job, your life support economically is failing. Some of you know you're going to face the same old battles that you fought 100 times. But I just want you to know today, God still enters battles. And He still makes you victorious. And He'll stamp that victory with peace in your soul. Every eye closed, everyone.